Well, good morning again. I realize I failed to introduce myself last time. I'm Pastor Thomas, and I oversee our youth ministry and Awana ministry here at CBC, and I have the privilege of preaching this morning. So let's start our time off with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you that you have made it, you have planned it, and Father, we thank you that you have a plan for us. And as we look into your word, would you encourage us where that is needed? Would you correct us where that is needed? Help us to be listening to your Holy Spirit as we go through this time. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to think back, or maybe to Friday. Think about the job you've had that you never want to go back to. And if it's your current job, I'm sorry about that. Hopefully, it's one of the ones from the past. Think about that job that gave you such a bad feeling in the pit of your stomach every day you had to go. You thinking? Take a moment. Yeah, there may have been a few reasons. Perhaps it didn't pay enough to meet your needs. Maybe it was an unhealthy environment, or it could have been the people you had to work with. Whatever it was, you didn't want to go. Well, for me, the job I didn't want to go to happened the summer of 2004. Yes, think back all those days. And the reason I didn't like my job at the time is that I wasn't any good at it. In fact, I was lousy at it. You see, it was one of the first summers when I was in Bible college and I was trying to earn enough money to pay for the next year. Maybe you've been in that spot as well. I had a good plan that summer. Knowing that I wanted to go into full-time ministry, my church had applied for a grant from the government to hire me to do youth ministry for the months of June, July, and August. But let me ask you this. When does college or university finish? What month? End of April, beginning of May, right? Somewhere in there. And so I had a month of not knowing what was going to happen. Was the government going to approve the grant? Were they not? Could I get a job now and say to my employer, yeah, I'm good for the summer? Well, I don't think so because I don't know. And so I was in this tight spot. I thought the government would approve the grant. They had done so in the past. I thought I would only be working somewhere else for a few weeks. And most businesses require a longer commitment than that. And so, the only job I could get at the time was with someone that I knew. Basically, someone who was going to do me a favor, hire me for a few weeks to a month. And I found that person. They very generously allowed me to come work for them until I found something more permanent. So I know you're all wondering, what was the job? Right? Yeah, I got you on the edge of your seats. What was the job? Well, my new job, the one I would not want to go back to, the one I wasn't any good at, was making collections phone calls for the Vancouver Sun newspaper and the Vancouver Province newspaper. That's right. Pastor Thomas was calling people and telling them, please pay your bills. Please pay your bill. But it wasn't thousands of dollars. It wasn't even hundreds of dollars. I was reminding them to pay anywhere from $5 to $50. Can you imagine today? Someone calls you, all right? Your phone rings. You don't recognize the number. A lot of us don't even pick those up, let's be honest. You pick it up. Hello, and it's me on the other end of the line. Hello, Mr. Jameson. I'm calling on behalf of the Vancouver Province newspaper. You have an outstanding bill of $5.50, and I can help you pay it today. You can either give me your credit card number. Sure. And this was my favorite part. You could either do the credit card, and you thought that was bad, or we have a driver in your neighborhood today. They'll come to your house and pick it up from you. And you can't miss them. He drives a yellow car. I wanted people to open their door based on the color of someone's vehicle. I had some people so suspicious of me. Maybe this was you. If it was you, I apologize for wrecking your day. I had some people tell me, I'm calling the police on you, sir. As far as I know, I'm not on the most wanted list. So we just call people. Hours on end, and even worse, I was paid by commission. All right? Mostly. I think I got small pay otherwise. But if I got people to pay, then I got paid. If not, I didn't. And I'm sure that if I did that job the whole summer, I wouldn't have made it back to Edmonton, to Bible school. I would have been stuck somewhere around Hope. So praise God, finally, the summer worker grant was approved, and I was able to stop telling people a yellow car was coming to take their money. It was a job. They were nice. They gave me a chance. They were doing a legitimate job collecting money owed. And a lot of people did pay, just not when I called them. But I wasn't any good at this job. It wasn't providing the money I needed to go back to college. I wasn't earning my way. I was trying. I was trying hard. I thought if I just could try harder, maybe I could make it. But I just couldn't get enough people to pay that yellow car, to earn my way. Too often, we have a similar view of salvation. We know that we have sin, that we have done things that are not pleasing to God, and that we need forgiveness. But our thinking about how to get that forgiveness is often mistaken. We think if we only work hard enough, we'll be able to earn God's forgiveness for our sins. Work harder, give more, volunteer weekly, and then maybe you can be good enough to be right with a God that is totally separate from sin. But our text this morning is going to show us that our salvation is not tied to how good you are or how hard you work. Instead, your salvation, being saved from condemnation for your sins, is actually about Jesus and faith in him. That, in fact, you cannot earn or pay your own way. On your own merits, on my own merits, there is no payment possible. And that is our title this morning. Many of us are aware that today is October 31st, recognized in our culture for another reason, but it is also known as being Reformation Day. It was October 31st, 1517, when the German monk Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door of the church in Wittenberg. This is what marked the beginning of the Protestant Reformation. And at the heart of this Protestant Reformation was four basic questions. Where do we find authority? What is the church? How should we live as Christians? And how is a person saved? The Reformation also came out with five essential doctrines. Maybe you've heard them referred to as the five solas, or if you have a kid in Awana, or if you're in Awana yourself, we've been talking about them as the five keys. The first one is sola scriptura. Only the Bible is our source and authority. The second is sola gratia. Salvation by grace alone. None of our works can save us, only by God's undeserved favor. Solus Christus. Salvation is in Jesus alone. None other can save us. Soli Deo Gloria. For the glory of God alone, we will live to show how great God is. And finally, the one our text will touch on today, sola fide, salvation by faith alone. We are justified, that means to be declared to be right with God, or righteous. We are saved by faith alone, not by the works of the law. It is by faith in Jesus alone that we can have our sins forgiven and receive Christ's righteousness. On our own, there is no payment possible, but with Christ, there is salvation. So let's turn to our text for this morning. We're in the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 21 to 25. This text is going to shatter the idea that you can be good enough. This text will shatter the thought that you can work hard enough. And this text will show that the only way to receive the righteousness of God is through faith in Jesus Christ. And that we all desperately need it. So let's read that together. Romans chapter 3, verses 21 to 25. We're going to stop halfway through the verse of 25. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This text answers that question of how can I be right with God? On our own, we are not. We are God's enemies, in fact. And there is no payment possible based on our own merits. But before we dive into this text, let's look at what has immediately preceded it. Romans 3, 9 to 20 describes our situation if we are left to our own devices. Romans 3, starting at verse 9. What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. As it is written, none is righteous. You get that? None is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good. Not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. And finally, verse 20, let's take special notice here. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. So we've had this very, well, hard to hear description of who we are without Jesus, and we hit verse 20. And if it ended at verse 20, we would all be condemned. But we hit verse 21. And we hit two important words. But now. But now. If you circle in your Bible or highlight in your Bible, do whatever you can to make these two words stand out. They mark a huge transition in this book, but more importantly, in the eternity of whoever would put their faith in Jesus. Two beautiful words that mean the hopelessness and the darkness and the despair and hell do not have to be our fate. There is hope. There is Jesus. But now, we are told the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. There is hope. While you and I can't possibly pay for our sins and be right with God, what does verse 20 say? For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight. You cannot do it on your own. The religions of the world will tell you different. They'll tell you, you have to do it on your own. In fact, you must work harder. You must do certain things. Do good works in order to earn your way. But that is totally and completely contrary to what the Bible presents. The Bible says on your own, there is no payment possible, not even in part. No payment plan. How does it work? Well, first, our text says it is through faith. Remember those five solas, those five keys? Sola fide. It's through faith. Only through faith. Verse 22 says, the righteousness of God through faith. In other words, it doesn't come by works. It comes by belief, by faith. Works is something that you and I do. Faith is something that God provides. You trust in what he has done. Nothing to add to it by us. No glory to us. All glory to God. One of my favorite passages is in John 3, verses 16 to 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. The Lord Jesus did it all. Praise God. There is no payment possible for you and I to make. Jesus paid it all. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that one believes and is justified, that is to be declared righteous, to be declared right with God, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. What's not? Even the faith that we need to be saved is a gift from God. Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Faith is a gift of God. Let's be clear. We depend completely on God, even for the granting of saving faith, because a man could not even muster such faith on his own. No credit to us. All glory to God. And who is this for? The righteousness of God is to all who believe. Verse 22 says, the righteousness of God comes through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. There is no distinction. The only faith that will save you is in Jesus. That's it. Put a period there. We have all sinned. And if you're one of the people who have been deceived and believe that you have not sinned and you do not need to be saved from your sin, verse 23 makes that very clear to be wrong. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all deserve his wrath. Some of us may protest, I'm basically a good person. No. Without faith in Jesus, we are all the same God-hating, hell-bound sinners that are described in Romans 3, 9-20. And it's not my opinion. It's here in God's word. It might be hard for us to accept, but that's what it says. You see, because we often mistakenly think good is relative. And if I'm better than this person, if I'm better than my neighbor, well, I guess therefore I am good enough. But the Bible tells us we are infinitely far from God without Jesus. Before we come to Christ, there is no difference. But the good news is that that goes two ways. There is also no distinction in who can be saved as long as they have faith in Jesus. Your background, you may say, you don't know the things that I've done. God knows. And he says that those who have faith in Jesus will be saved. So if you know someone or your neighbor comes to you and you've been witnessing to them about Jesus, and they say, I can't be saved. My background is just too bad. You say to them, no, the Bible says there's no difference. He can save you. He has the power. It doesn't matter what the variables are. You and I, without Jesus, are so far from God's glory that we're all in the same boat. We have fallen short of God's standard of perfection, and yet you and I, through faith in Jesus, can be saved despite our sin, undeservedly, not because of anything we can do, but because of faith in Jesus. And how? Well, our passage goes on. It says, it is given freely by his grace. Verse 24 says, and are justified by his grace as a gift. Well, first, what does it mean to be justified? Justification is to be declared to be right with God. It's the opposite of condemnation. Condemnation from your sin over here. Justification over here. Declared to be right with God. Because of the sin that we all have, it is right and just for God to condemn us for our sins, to be declared guilty and punished. But God Praise God that he does this. He provides a way for us to be justified through Jesus. This means that instead of being condemned for our sins, we are declared to be righteous, free of sin. Instead of condemned, we are justified, made righteous before God. A trade is made, as 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us. For our sake, he made him to be sin, Jesus, he had no sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The most uneven trade in history. Our sins are put on Jesus when our faith is in him, and his righteousness is put on us. You give him your filth, and he gives to you his perfection. That is what it means to be justified. And this is offered to all who will come and put their faith in Jesus Christ. We are justified by his grace as a gift. Is there a more beautiful word than grace? Getting what you don't deserve. And in this case, getting what you don't deserve when, in fact, you and I deserve the opposite. Receiving eternity in heaven with our Savior when, in fact, you and I deserve eternity in hell, separated from our God. Salvation cannot be earned. In fact, there is no payment possible. We don't earn, we don't contribute, we do nothing to deserve it. But it is by grace that we are offered this salvation. The story goes of a father and son. This is quite a few years ago, one of my favorite stories. The father and son were listening to a baseball game on the car radio when they arrived at the local Kmart. That's like Walmart, for those of you who don't remember Kmart. And they had gone there so that the son could pick out a toy as payment for work he had done for his father. He had earned $5. Not sure how he did that. This is a long time ago. Must have been a lot of work, though. I remember earning $5. That was a lot of work. The father was so intensely listening to the game that the father told the son that he could go in the store before the father, go on ahead of him, and pick out something worth $5. He didn't have a $5 bill, so he gave him a 10 instead. The father was there listening intently. The game went into extra innings or something, and the son returned, and he had a new water pistol. This was to be what he had earned with his $5. He said, "Look, Dad, isn't it great? It's the one I wanted. Dad, the only thing is it actually cost $6.50. Things have gone up, Dad, since you were a boy." The father responded, "So, son, how much did I say you had earned?" "Oh, you said $5, Dad." "Well, son, you didn't earn enough to pay for that water pistol. You need to take it back." The son, defeated but obedient, went back into the store. While his son was returning the water pistol, the father snuck into the store, bought the same water pistol for his son, and returned to the car before his son got back. When his son returned to the car, the father presented the water pistol to his son. The son, bewildered, asked, "Why, Dad? I didn't earn this." The dad responded, "It's not only my job to teach you about earning money and working hard, but I'm also to teach you about grace, getting something you didn't earn and don't deserve, just like God gives us." I like this story for the grace the father shows. It's a bit of a flawed illustration since the kid earned part of his way. We don't earn any of our way with God. Completely and totally a gift given to us by grace through faith. Verse 24 says, "It is through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Redemption is to ransom, to buy back through the payment of a price. There was a price. There was a price. You didn't pay it. I didn't pay it. But it was paid. And verse 24 says that the one who paid it was Jesus. At that time, there would have been markets where you could buy people as slaves. And some would come and buy a slave in order to set him free, to redeem their lives. The Bible says we, you and I, before faith in Jesus, are slaves to sin. and needed a redeemer, someone to come and buy us back. We couldn't be righteous on our own. So God provides a righteousness by faith. The only way God could do that is for Christ to pay the price to free us. We are like prisoners sentenced to die. Someone has to pay the penalty. And that was the price paid by the Lord Jesus. He paid the price to set us free. 1 Peter 1:18 puts it this way. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus. Let that sink in. You were not redeemed with perishable things. It wasn't something that someone had. Well, I don't need this. Someone died for you. Someone who did not deserve it. The precious blood of Christ. A lamb without blemish or defect. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. The price was death, and Christ, the only one who had never sinned, didn't deserve to be punished, died that death. He shed his blood. And so the righteousness of God is now available by faith to all who believe freely by his grace. It's been paid for on your behalf, on my behalf. Without Jesus, we're back to Romans 3, 9-20. No hope. No one is righteous. No one does good. That is us. We're all the same. No difference. And we could not be right with God on our own. And so God came down. He had a plan to make us right through the substitutionary death of Jesus. Verse 25 goes on to say, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. Another word that may trip us up, but another beautiful word. This word has the idea of satisfaction or appeasement. What we're speaking about here is the appeasement or satisfaction of the wrath of God that would rightly be on us. In other belief systems, it's the worshiper, it's the person who has the responsibility themselves of trying to appease God's wrath. But as we've learned today, we cannot pay. There is no payment possible on our own. Instead, we have God sending his son Jesus to pay the price for us. It's mind-boggling if you stop and think about it. And sometimes in church, I know we run over it too fast. I think, wow, the one who created me did this for me because of love. It says he is the propitiation for our sin by his blood and received by faith. And to those who have faith, he gives his righteousness. He takes our sins on himself and pays the penalty that we owe. And then again, it says in verse 25, and this is the final word, it is by faith, through faith. We're reminded again that salvation comes by faith, by believing. Not anything we do on our own, no payment possible. No payment possible. It's all of God. And so we are not left in Romans 1, 2, or the first part of chapter 3, but we are brought to Romans 3:21. Those two beautiful words. And the righteousness of God is given to us through faith. This is what it means to be saved. It's not what we've done, it's what he has done for us. How do we apply this kind of a message to our lives? Well, I've been praying that God would be encouraging and convicting each and every one of us where he sees fit in his perfect plan, that we'd be listening to the Holy Spirit as we go through this passage together. And I want to also bring us to three points of application. And they're actually the three words from our title. No payment possible. The first is no. No, you can't do it yourself. Simple, yet eternity altering. You and I, without faith in Jesus, are as Romans 3:20 states, for by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight. We have all sinned. If you have not yet realized that, it is so important that you do now. We have all sinned and fall short of God's glory. You and I are lost in our sin without faith in Jesus. If you have never heard that before, it is vital you understand that at this moment. Without Jesus, you and I are lost in our sin, and we will be condemned if we die in that state. And if we are trying to save ourselves, we will never succeed. Jesus says in Matthew 25:46, that those with faith in him will have eternal life, but those without will go away into eternal punishment. Eternal punishment. So if you are still trying to do it yourself, stop immediately. You've been deceived. The only way to be in a right relationship with God is to put your faith in Jesus Christ. Good works, anything on our own, will never satisfy the wrath of God. That's no. The second, payment. Payment has been made. For the last 30 minutes or so, we've said there was no payment possible, but that is, of course, by us. But there was a price that was paid. Verse 24 says, it is through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Jesus redeemed us. He paid for us by dying on a cross. Taking the wrath of God for our sins, the wrath that we deserved, you and I, he took it on himself. The only one who was perfect, the only one who could do this for us, took the wrath of God that we deserved on himself because he loved us. Took that punishment. He died. He died. And then on the third day, he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. 1 Timothy 2:5-6 says, for there is one God and there is one mediator between God and man, the man, Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all. Jesus paid it all. Payment has been made. No payment possible. Because of Jesus' death, taking the wrath of God on himself and rising from the dead, it is now possible to have your sins forgiven and be right with God. Praise God. And as this text has explained to us, it is by grace through faith. This means that through nothing good in us or that we have done or will ever do, we can be saved from the just penalty for our sins and become a part of God's family. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. The Bible tells us that putting our trust, our faith in Jesus is the only way to be saved. Without him, we are lost, but with him, you and I can be forgiven. Thank God. Praise God that he did not leave us in our state by ourselves, condemned. To try to do something that we could never do. And he loved us enough to send the only one who could save us for all eternity. So where are you? Will you put your faith in Jesus to save you from your sin and punishment if you have not yet done so? If you do, the Bible says, you will be forgiven of your sin and you will be made right with God. You can have confidence in where you will be after you die on this earth. Because as the Bible says, you will be called the child of God. You will be his for eternity. This is not something that you should wait on. Sometimes we can sit in a sermon and we say, well, we'll get around to it one day. Yeah, well, I'm going to get baptized one day. And do not wait on this. Do not wait on this. You do not know what the next moment will bring. The time to do this is now. After you die, it is too late. Make this decision in the here and now. Cry out to God. Confess. Say, God, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Recognize that Jesus, the Son of God, took the wrath of God that you and I deserved on himself, dying on the cross and rising again. Ask God to forgive your sins, to be your Savior. Tell him you want to follow him with your life as Lord. And remember, it is a free gift, saved by grace through faith. I'm going to give you an opportunity now, whether you're here or at home. I'm going to ask each of us to bow our heads. And if this is something that you feel that God is leading you to at this moment, cry out to God. Say, "Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I ask your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus is your son. I believe that he died for my sin, that he took the wrath of God that I deserve on himself and gave to me his righteousness. And I believe he rose again to life. I want to trust Jesus as my Savior and follow him as Lord from this moment on. Guide my life. Help me to do what you want, to follow your ways. In Jesus' name, amen."